Ronnie Jones, Laura Dreyfus, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
So this is one of those shows where I suppose I could succinctly explain what it is, but I feel like I'd be leaving much of what the show is actually about out. At its surface, it's about a young would-be politician. He wants to be president of the United States, but it's not really just about him. It's about sort of this large group of people who are like weirdly passionate about adult things.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you pitch the show?
I mean, I guess, like you said, this kid who's always wanted to be president, you know, and is now running for his high school student body election to be president. And mm-hmm. I think it's more so about the interpersonal relationships more than anything else. You have, you know, campaign advisors, and then you have opponents or would-be opponents kind of, you know, doing their thing mm-hmm. and being conniving, and they're 40-year-old, 17-year-olds. That's
exactly
what we say. Yeah.
Well, and that's not easy to pull off all the time, right? It's this, it could come off as so out there that it's not believable. And yet, with the characters, I weirdly believe that you're as ambitious as you guys all are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the fun thing as an actor is to just really live in the honesty of it all. And mm-hmm. I think what makes it so funny is that these people are so serious about everything that they're doing. And then the comedy kind of lives with the extreme.
The satirical aspect of it is the fact that they are these children who think that this is the end-all be-all mm-hmm. and the stepping stone to, you know, something bigger.
Well, what I love about the satirical aspect of it is you guys are kind of satirizing a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. And you're not just going after one particular target. Mm-hmm. And so someone, because it is called The Politician, one might think it might be political. And from a political sort of social commentary standpoint, kind of going after a lot of different aspects.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, Ryan Murphy somehow predicted the college admission scandal, and
yeah, that was wild.
So it's amazing because that's not just like about politics, but it's like a social commentary as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it takes place in Santa Barbara. Mm-hmm. It kind of looks like what I would expect. I'm from Southern California,
okay.
And weirdly,
cool.
Santa Barbara doesn't quite look like that, and yet we all think it looks like that. Yeah, so from that perspective, it's perfect. When you get into this sort of world, that's very similar, I think, to Glee in the sense of, you've got a very specific aesthetic mm-hmm. to how it's shot, and it takes all the characters very, very seriously, and yet it still manages to live in its own world. As actors, are you kind of aware of the similarities, and are you especially as someone who was actually on Glee, but obviously it's from the creators of Glee, like how much of that is in the back of your mind?
I mean, there are definitely similarities and certain things that remind me of it, but I think it's mostly just the way Ryan Murphy's brain works. I think that him and Brad and Ian, sorry, I keep getting their a lot of similar sounding names. Yeah. They are such world builders. And mm-hmm. so it's really amazing because they've, like you said, created this world, and we get to establish what the rules of that world are. So it's really fun to be able to do that as a group. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how much, Ronnie, did you get to know about the character and the background and what drives your character? We don't want to give anything away mm-hmm. as there are lots of twists in the show. But you start off clearly as you're the vice presidential candidate for the side going against the main character. Mm-hmm. Do you go into that role and they tell you, okay, this is kind of what's motivating you? Or do you come up with that on your own in the context of the script?
I mean, there's no sit down to say like this is what Sky's motivation is, especially considering how we got the scripts. We would get them maybe a week or so before we would actually mm-hmm. shoot. So each time I'd see a script, it's like, oh,
you're making me do that.
Oh, so this is where we're going. And I think that Sky is just an activist, right? So it's easy to pull from, you know, things that are happening in the world and kind of using that as a catalyst for that type of motivation to mm-hmm. be, you know, this militant, I'll call it like it is. I'm willing to do any and everything to get what I want type of thing. So, yeah.
Well, I was reading a piece yesterday. I can't remember who had published it, but they made a notion, a point about the fact that, number one, there are a lot of LGBTQ characters who are high profile and they're also bad guys. In a way, like there's some aspects to their personalities that are not perfect. And that mm-hmm. was saying something of like, oh, okay, finally, everyone's kind of being treated exactly the way they probably should in a TV show.
Yeah, I think it's nice to be playing multidimensional characters that also exist on the spectrum of sexuality and the gender spectrum. So, yeah, I think that that's really fun. It's really fun, and I think it's you don't see it very... It's the first time I've seen something like this where...
People just get to be.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You know,
existing as they are and not apologizing for it.
Yeah, and it doesn't... Unless the point of it in certain circumstances, which is the satirical part of it, for the most part, they're not sort of token characters.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, and I was super proud to be a part of something like that because it's easy to be like a token character and kind of fill that quota. But in the stories that we tell, their sexuality is not the end-all be-all to their character. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no big coming-out moment.
It's just there.
It is what it is. And that's we've talked about this on several interviews, but it's a reflection of the world and how we, you know, hope that, you know, art and mm-hmm. TV and film and stuff like that will continue to thrive in that way.
Yeah, and we can all agree that, like, the coming out story is so important, but it's nice to be able to be a part of a show that's just not only focusing on that. It's just letting people exist and have that not be the first thing of their narrative.
So season one of The Politician that's out right now on Netflix, how does it feel living in that sort of Netflix world where some significant differences between traditional television distribution?
It's really amazing. I think it's really cool to have, especially I come from a theater background, and it's made me really realize how, I hate to say it, but like elitist theater is, because it's only so many people can access tickets to a Broadway show. And even then, it's like you can only witness that one performance. So to be a part of a streaming service like network where you're a part of a show where everyone can access it. Yeah. It's really amazing. I mean, the fact that the whole world can see this show is really, really cool.
Are there any new pressures attached to that? And I say this as someone who, I got an email from Netflix, I want to say 2 or 3 weeks ago. Uh-huh. And it was asking me how I felt about every single major character on the show. Do I like them? Would I like to see them in number two? I believe both of you were on it. I gave you all very good marks. But when you get some
good to know.
Right.
Does that kind of make you nervous at all?
Well, now it does.
Now it does. Dang, I didn't know that. Just kidding.
But like, how much of that does sort of play a role? Because presumably it's all being driven on a TV station that similar ways, except it's just... It's really subjective, and it's solely the creators. Maybe they do some lame focus groups that don't really mean anything. But now people who actually love the show get to say, we love you, and we want more of you. And then that's the positive to it all.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting. I try to, like,
think about it. Yeah.
I try to stay away from comments. Specifically with Sky, I think that you either love her or you hate her. Mm-hmm. And so I was fully prepared for any type of negative backlash.
What are you getting?
A lot of positives, and then there's some people that are just like, oh my god, I hate Sky. She's so annoying, and I'm like, well, it is what it is, but I think that that's, you know, just the nature of, you know, creating something like that, so, yeah.
How do you sort of, like, just cut that stuff out in a way that doesn't get in your head, and I'll be taking notes, because as a talk show host who talks for 3 hours a day, I inevitably say things that make people upset.
I think the most important thing is to recognize that it doesn't define you. I think that it's the art that you're doing, and like that is creating a response in people, which is great, and everyone should have a response, but you can control how much you allow it to affect you. And so I think it also doesn't serve the work that you do, because I don't know, it doesn't make you who you are. So as long as you know who you are.
And have a sort of a healthy relationship with Twitter and Facebook and whatnot.
Which
is kind of funny, because I follow both of you on Twitter.
Oh.
Laura, you need to take us through the conversation you overheard coming into SeaTac last night.
I'm still recovering.
Take us through, because that was I do the same exact thing, and I always wonder if people are going to be mad at me for doing it. Everyone always loves it.
No, you know what? They were so loud that I didn't feel bad, because I wanted to sleep, and they just were talking so, like, even with my headphones in, I heard their conversation. So I felt like they were proud.
Yeah.
Of what they were saying.
They were owning it. So you were live tweeting the conversation that you experienced on the plane. Take us through their fascination with fish, because
they talked about fish for an extremely long time. Yeah, they love fish. And that's actually when I fell asleep. when we were like on minute 15 about fish. Yeah, I fell asleep.
Oh my gosh.
Passionate about fish.
Passionate about
fish. Where was the flight coming in from?
From Phoenix to Seattle.
Okay, well then we're not taking ownership of these people.
No.
They're from Phoenix and they're visiting Seattle for
yes.
Right? Okay. I know, Ronnie, you've probably been asked this a million times. Mm-hmm. However, I'm just fascinated with how you made the jump into your first project for Netflix and for TV, we'll put it in air quotes, coming from Homeland Security.
Homeland Security, that's like a DHS.
Okay, so what were you doing?
I was an inspector for the Office of Inspector General for DHS, which is the oversight body
What do you inspect?
So we did a lot of reviews revolving around airports. So aviation security, border security, counterterrorism. Mm-hmm. So it's like this broad sense of like these reviews that we would get based on congressional requests or in-house initiated reviews. And it was rewarding work. I did it for about 4.5 years. And then was like, I'm good. I gotta go.
Yeah, I'm out.
I'm out. Peace. But yeah, I love my DHS family. I'm still friends with a lot of people that are there. But it's definitely a far cry from.
So did you just? But how did you make that pathway then to acting?
You know, once I quit, I took about a year off to figure out what the next step was. I was like, I have made a grave error, and then then I moved to New York, and then I started to doing community theater, and was my first introduction into actually performing. I've always loved watching other people do it. And then I was like, I love this. This is exhilarating. This is something that I've always wanted to do but was too afraid to try. And then, you know, the universe started to align to make things happen for me. And then I got this audition and I was just like, yay.
Well, it always seems like Ryan and his crew, they very much heavily rely on theatrical actors and actresses. And that was the case with Glee. Laura, same thing, case with you. And then there's, of course, your co-star who you were also a co-star with.
Yeah.
So when you make the jump from theatrics to theater to traditional TV, when you're working on a Ryan Murphy project, does it really feel like you're making that big of a jump? Because it does. The show feels theatrical.
Yeah, I think that that's the beauty of it, is that you don't really feel like you have to dial yourself back too much, because the way Ryan works is that it really lends itself to a theatrical performance. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's not like a typical TV show. You can have a lot of fun with it.
Do you enjoy that more than sort of a more traditional role?
I think every role has its perks, but I think it's really fun to have the freedom to exist in this world that is so out there.
And it feels like everyone has really good chemistry, and yet you're not really spending that much time together per episode. In fact, I your two characters, I don't think spent all that much time at all up until episode 4, maybe 5 for the most.
Yeah.
So how does that develop, that sort of chemistry? Is it just there?
I mean, I will say that Ben Platt did a phenomenal job of bringing us all together as a cast. We did a lot of like fun activities. We went to Disneyland, hung out with each other all the time. And so once we did have the opportunity to work with each other, it was just like already there. It's not like you're trying to introduce yourself to this new person. But I would give him the credit on bringing us together and creating that chemistry for sure.
Yeah.
How would you prefer people watch Politician? Do you want them to binge? Do you want them to watch it? Have you thought of that at all?
I haven't really.
I don't know. Because I can understand why people would want to, I'm going to do it every week. And so to not,
it does take self-control though. To do
it does. I'm just saying, cause I think that the 8 episodes are easily bingeable. Mm-hmm. So
it moves very quickly too. I think it's only 6 hours.
Right. It's not.
Yeah.
You could finish it in a day.
You could. Yeah. And again, because there's so much stuff going on, I feel like that's why it feels like it goes by so quickly. Cause you're not, you know, the election results by episode 5 ish, and then you're starting to move in, and then it goes into place where it's like, oh, you're going there. Okay, that's kind of cool. I didn't realize you were doing that.
Yeah,
are you guys already talking season 2 behind the scenes?
We don't really know any information. I wish we knew. We're waiting on a script, but we're gonna start working on it soon. So any day now, we should.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So that's, again, that kind of feels good because it doesn't quite go that fast when we're talking about traditional sort of distribution of TV. So you kind of at least know what your next job is. That's good.
Yeah, for now, yeah.
Once people go through the experience of season 1 of The Politician, what in your world should their takeaway be?
Oh gosh. I hope it's entertaining, and I hope that it's, I hope people are able to examine the world around them and have it be in a very digestible way. And I think that it, I always say, I think it really asks the question of what is authenticity. And I hope that people are able to look at their world leaders and examine why they're drawn to certain people. And I hope it makes young people more active in politics. I hope it makes young people more inspired to vote or understand the world that we're living in. And I think it's already happening. I think young people are really doing an incredible job and really picking up the slack. So I just want more of that. And I'm, yeah, I hope that it inspires change.
Yeah. And weirdly, one of my favorite episodes of the, is it, it's eight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was the one where it explores almost exclusively one character who's brand new, who has no interest whatsoever in voting. And I just, because that was a departure from the storyline up until that point through the end. And so same question for you, Ronnie. What do you want people to get out of this?
I would just, you know, echo what Laura was saying. I think that the timing of this show is so interesting considering it's an election year. And to really look at, you know, the politicians that are in the forefront and seeing that they're, is so much more that's going on behind the scenes than we know. And I also think that, as I was saying earlier, this is a world in terms of like representation and gender expression and sexuality that I feel should be the norm. And I want them to people to, you know, see that and say, huh, this is the world I live in and I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for being part of a show that I actually enjoyed.
Yeah.
Because when I don't and I do the interviews, it's very awkward.
Okay.
And so I really love The Politician. Season one is out right now on Netflix. Check it out. Ronnie Jones, Laura Dreyfus, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank
I really
you so
appreciate
much for
it.
Having us.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Jason Rancho. Let's get you home the right way with Right Way Traffic.